We want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ, the one who made it possible for us to be here. Curtis asked that question this morning, why are we here? And Margaret up and saying, oh, worship the Lord. That's why we're here this morning, to worship the Lord, to honor his holy name, and give him praise and glory for what he is worthy of, and all that he is, all that he was, and what he is, and what he will be. And I welcome each one of you here and the visitors. May the Lord bless you, and we remember those who are absent as well. The message that I have this morning is actually a rebound from what we've talked about in the past a little bit, the mystery of the church of Jesus Christ that we have in Ephesians 3. And a hymn that the Marystown Chorus sang when Friday night, my wife was in there. The Bible stands like a rock undaunted amid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands and it will forever when the world has passed away. By inspiration, it has been given, and all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone, I expect to live it, and to prove it, and make it mine. As we think of the mystery of the church that Paul spoke about that was not known in other ages as it was now, revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets. Just going over the history of time. From Adam to the flood was 2,000 years. And from Noah, or the flood, or Abraham actually, to Christ was 2,000 years, and now from the resurrection of Christ to where we're at now is about 2,000 years. And then there's another 1,000 years yet to come after that, which will make up the work of the 7 day of creation. When God called Abraham in Genesis 14:13, Abraham is called the Hebrew. That's interesting to me that he was called that. It was mentioned, I think, somebody else, that Abraham the Hebrew. And Abraham became the father of many nations. But basically, he was the father of the Hebrew nation, the children of Israel, and the Jewish people. I'd like to read four verses from Genesis. Genesis 12:3. They're all right together. These are the promises that God made to Abraham. Genesis 12:3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. 18:18. God says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. 22:18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And 26:4. And I will make thy seed to multiply to the stars as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, the last two verses actually speak of the Gentile nations, of the church. Because Paul says, and he refers to Abraham, he didn't say unto seeds, he said unto seed, referring to Christ Jesus as the seed of Abraham, where all these blessings will spring from. But Abraham was the father of the Hebrews and the Jewish nation, and all the major and minor prophets. Basically, we have the history of the first 2,000 years in 11 chapters. We don't know much about that. And there it starts, chapter 12 starts with the call of Abraham. And we go through the patriarchs and the children down to Egypt. But the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and I'll include Daniel in that, all are prophecies that are written to the children of Israel, because that's who God was working with. There was only one prophet that was sent to a Gentile nation or city, and that was Jonah. We know how that turned out. He went to Nineveh. And you know his attitude about that. The suffering and death of Jesus Christ was basically overlooked by Israel because it was overshadowed by the glory of the King in his coming. The suffering of Christ is like little knobs sticking up along a mountain range. You see the mountain range much more than you see those little peaks sticking up. I was impressed as I read Isaiah 53, and we love that chapter. I've almost committed it to memory. I wouldn't try it yet, but in my own private hours, I can pretty well say it by memory. But I was impressed by one word in that, this in preparing and studying for this. It's actually in verse 8, and Isaiah was giving a prophecy about the suffering of our Savior. And verse 8 it says, he, referring to Jesus, was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, and for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And I never thought about that before. But Isaiah is saying that he is referring to Israel. He said, my people. Isaiah's people. And that part of Christ's experience, the world has pretty much passed over. Jews passed over it. They much rather, they, the disciples, talked about the glory of Jesus. When are you going to set up your kingdom on earth? That's what they was all interested in. And when Jesus left the scenes of time, he told them that he would meet with them, and they were supposed to wait in Jerusalem. And there were three feasts that the Jews were supposed to attend every year. And you can find that in Deuteronomy. The one was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which we know as the Passover. And the other was the Feast of Weeks, which was just 1 week after Passover, it was a week of unleavened bread, and then the third one was the Feast of Tabernacles, which was the ingathering harvest. And the Passover to the Feast of the Tabernacle was actually 50 days. And that's when the Spirit was poured out upon the church. Actually, they were Jews. They were 120 souls that had gathered in the upper room after the crucifixion of Jesus. And and the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. And I believe when Paul or Peter spoke of the people that were there, the nations that were there over the time of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, I don't know how many it was, it's in Acts 2. We could turn to that. Maybe we should, Acts 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one accord in one place, and the Spirit was poured out. And then the people were amazed in verse 7 and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And now we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, in Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and in parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, and Jews, and proselytes, Cretes, and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue, and the wonderful works of God. And they were amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? And some others mock. But you see, these people that were gathered here were not Gentiles. They were Jews and proselytes. Now, the Gentile could always find a way into the Jewish faith. God had always included them. And he talked about taking care of the strangers. You treat the strangers right, too. You can't take tax off of your Jewish brethren, but you can tax a stranger. But you have to treat him just like you do your brother. That's the only way in the Jewish faith. But faith was by circumcision and by keeping the law. And and it says here that the proselytes were along with them. You know, there was no Gentiles in this group unless they were proselytes. 22 of the same chapter. No, it's 2:2, I think. I got it too close together. Chapter 2, verse 2. And suddenly there came, no, it ain't either. I must have a... I'll find it here. Maybe it's 2:22. No, that ain't it. You men of Israel, verse is 22. I was looking to verse 21 because it's highlighted in red, but it's 2:22. You men of Israel, hear these words of Jesus, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. And then he goes on and continues to preach. And in verse 37 of that chapter, they come out and say, well, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to them, men and to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of the sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then in 41 it says there was 3,000 people added to the church that day. And they kept continue adding to the church. And In Acts 8, we have Ethiopian eunuch who was not really, I believe he was a Jew. He was at Jerusalem worshiping and returning home. And God sent Philip out there to preach the word of God to him. Then in Acts 9, we have the confession of Saul, conversion of Saul. And in Acts 10, we have Peter going to Cornelius. And I like to read verse Deuteronomy 32:21. This is one of the scriptures, but we have to remember that in light of what Moses wrote, that there was still Gentiles allowed into the Jewish faith. 32:21, but it is a reference to Jesus Christ. I'll start at verse 20. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very forward generation, children whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with them, with their vanities. And I am moved with jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger. I will move them to anger with those which are not a people, and I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. That is a reference to the Gentile church. Isaiah 65 is another one. There's not many of them that are references to them. Isaiah 65:1. I am sought of them that ask not for me, and I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. And then he goes into verse 2, and he says, I have spread forth my hands all day long unto a rebellious people, which walketh in the ways that are not good, and after their own thoughts. That was the children of Israel. But verse 1 is the Gentile Christians. And if you turn to Romans 10:9, Paul pulls them, both of those scriptures together into a verse or two when he's referring and speaking to the Jewish people. 10:19. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not, and I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now, turn with me to 1 Peter. That's where we're setting our Sunday school book, but it happens to take us to that point. That's because I said earlier one morning that Peter was writing to the Hebrew people, and I still think he was. And we talked on that a little bit this morning in some of verses 1 Peter 2, 7 to 12. I think this might have been our lesson this morning, or part of it anyhow. Verse 2, 7, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereby they are appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that ye should be Show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dear beloved, I beseech you, as strangers, pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, and glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, as I thought about this, and there were some other verses too, Paul is saying that he is calling the Jewish people to, at this time, to abstain, to be a royal people. It says they were not a people, and they were not a people because God had rejected them, but he had brought them back in again, at least in part, over the Pentecost experience. But they were to stand up and be a witness for the Gentiles. That's what the verse says. And your conversation honest among the Gentiles. At this time, there was also Gentiles in the church. Church or churches? I'm not sure. 1 Peter 3:6 says this, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you're afraid. Now, as far as Peter writing to the Hebrews, as I read this, and it'll probably come up in our Sunday school lesson sometime here in the future, how many Gentiles would have known what Sarah was? How would they have known who Sarah was? They were ignorant people. They were in the dark ages. But Peter is saying, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well on earth, in amazement. I just take from that, that Peter was either talking to people that didn't know anything about him, or he was talking to people that did know about Sarah and Abraham as well. 1 Peter 4:3-6. For the time past of our life would suffice us to rot the will of the Gentiles. Did you catch that? Would rot the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable adulteries, wherein you think it strange that they run not to you with the same excess of right, speaking evil. Who shall give an account to that which to that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. And for this gospel, this cause was the gospel preached unto them also that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh. And then 1 Peter 5:9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world. I believe that in the world was to the Jewish Gentiles. Now, in Galatians 2:1, I know I'm reading a lot of verses, but the Bible stands as a rock undaunted, and it's the only thing we have. 14 years after Paul was converted, he went up to Jerusalem. And he abode there with Peter, James, and John. And and he talks about the Jerusalem Council. Let me just start at verse 5, to whom we give place by subjection, no, not for an hour. That was the people that maybe I should have started earlier. Okay, I'll start at verse 1. 14 years after, I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me, and went up to Revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I had preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should have run around in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and because a false brother unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty in Christ Jesus, they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of those who seem to be somewhat, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference said nothing to me, but counterwise, when they saw that the gospel of uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter. Would you take note of that? It says, when they seen that the gospel of uncircumcision was committed unto me, unto Paul, as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the truth, the grace that was given unto me, they gave unto me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. It seems in this era of time there were Jewish churches and there were Gentile churches. Every place that Paul went, he preached to the Jews first, and then he ended up going to the Gentiles. Turn with me to Acts, just to back to pick up some of Paul's experience Acts 21. Verse 27, Paul had went up to Jerusalem. In verse 27, and when the 7 days were almost, and the Jews which were in Asia, when they saw Paul in the temple, stirred up the people and laid hands on him. Now they were Jews from Asia, but they knew Paul, and they stirred him up, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law, and into this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted the holy place. For they had seen him before in the city of Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they had supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together. And they took Paul and threw him into the temple, and would have before the doors were shut. As they went about to kill him, tidings came to the chief captain of the band, and all Jerusalem was in an uproar. They immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating Paul. And then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains, and demanded who he was and what he had done. And they cried different stuff about Paul, and away with him. Then in verse 37, Paul was led into the castle, and he said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" Who said, "Canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou Egyptian, which before these days madest an uproar, and ledest out in the wilderness 4,000? Paul said, "No, I'm a man of Jew of Tarsus, the city of Cilicia." And he asked this captain if he might have the freedom to speak unto the people. And he did. And then Paul preached unto these people, and he gave them the whole testimony of his account with the Lord and how the Lord saved him and spoke to him. And they gave him audience. They listened. In other words, he spoke to the Roman, I believe, in the Roman language, and he spoke to the Jews in the Jewish language. And when they heard him speak, they became very quiet, and they listened to him. And they gave him audience until he told them that God had called him to preach unto the Gentiles. And like that, there was immediately another uproar. They became away with such a man. He's not fit to live. Destroy him. And these were Jewish people that were at Jerusalem. And then they made a plot to kill him. It was endeavoring to get rid of him. And the times of the writing is in Acts 28. Toward the end of Paul's ministry, he got to Rome, and after verse 17, it came to pass after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people of customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from the Jerusalem unto the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had ought to accuse my nation. For this cause, therefore, I have called for you to see you and to speak unto you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with these chains. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect we know that everywhere it is spoken against. So he talked with them and preached unto them. And after he had preached, once the Gentiles said, Well, why don't you preach us to the next Sabbath day? And the next Sabbath day, multitudes of people came together, Jews and Gentiles. And when the Jews seen the Gentiles coming in, they were moved with envy and refused, and they turned against him. I'm not sure when or if the Jews ever did accept the Gentiles. Jesus said he was going to break down that middle wall partition. But we know that in the end that there will be Jews brought into to the Israeli nation. But that's in prophecy as well. It's things that God had prophesied before. And just turn with me to Romans 11, and this is probably the springboard of the whole thing. It's where Paul is writing to the Romans about his own people. And seems there was a conflict between the Jews and the middle wall partition was never really broken down but I believe there was people who were really sincere in their Christian experience, and there were probably Jews and Gentiles in the church together. But it seems as Paul went preaching every place he went, the Jews were in rebellion against him and wanted to destroy him, basically because he was an apostle to the Gentiles. And he said, I take great joy in that privilege of being an apostle to the Gentiles. And but Paul always sought his people. I say unto Israel in verse 1, Hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, dig down thine altars, and I alone nothing. And he made an answer to God unto him, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knees to the image of Baal. Even so, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if it by grace, then it's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more work, grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According, it is written, God hath given the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that he should not hear unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, a recompense unto them, and let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, Israel's fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. I think we're still provoking the Jews to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them and the riches of the, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I'm an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, that by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree art grafted among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou will say then, as Gentiles, the branches were broken off, that we might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branch, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, and them which fell severity, but they were the goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And if they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, they shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in. I'll cease reading there, but it's all about bringing the Jews back in, and it will not happen till the time of the Gentiles cease. I think that's clear in this passage. The Gentile church has a time of work to be done, and it's basically Gentile people. It's people in the world. And we were gathering them today. We sit in your midst, or stand in your midst this morning as Gentile people who count it a privilege to be brought in to Christ's kingdom because of Christ's work and his opportunity to put us in his privilege, his blessing, his wanting to bless the world through Abraham, that he would have a seat as well. You see, this morning we are the bride of Christ, and Christ is taking out a bride out of the world of Gentile people and Jews as well. There will be some Jews, I believe there are Jews saved today, but basically Jewish people today will not, we have Messianic Jews, but they are no different than worldly Gentiles. They do not abide in the doctrines of the scriptures. They do not obey the word. They're divorced and remarried. They live worldly lives, but claim to that Christ is their Messiah. This morning I count a tremendous privilege to be a part of a Bible-believing group that is able to take the scriptures as it is and understand that it is the word of God and believe it and practice it. I know there's no other place to be in this world. As troubled times approach, and we get closer and closer to the end time, when God will again step onto the scenes of time, and the time of the Gentiles will cease, and he will take up the work with the Jews again through much tribulation and much sorrow and great affliction. Let us be rejoiced and be glad where we are and what God has done for us and what he has given to us today on heritage. I thought about that last night as we did the rescue mission. Now, those people stood and sat that had no, probably had no teaching, no understanding of what basic Bible living is like. How much they, they sang the song, sure, but how much they grasp of the amazing grace of God? How much could they understand? And this morning, you and I said, after years and years and years of teaching and teaching, are we still hungering, thirsting after righteousness? Do we still seek the word as the milk of babes? Is that our craving? You know, we talked about babes this morning. You know, when they're hungry, they want it, and they want it now. Is that how we thirst after the word of God? I want it, and I need it now. And we just go to the scriptures and read it. And may God bless us. We continue your faith to be a witness here in Winchester area. And I believe many people need the gospel around here as well as over the world. And it'll be a challenge for us to represent that, what God really wants to a people that profess Christianity. Let's kneel for prayer.